Good afternoon, church. I want to welcome you to our service today. If this is your first time joining us here on Sunday Online, we'd like to welcome you to our service and invite you to join us every Sunday for a weekly message. Today I want to continue our short series on faith. In fact, today will be the last message I'll preach in this series. First week we spoke about what faith is, and last week we spoke about how to increase your faith. And today I want to talk about faith in action. How to live out your biblical faith daily. Now, before I start explaining about faith, there are actually two kinds of faith available in the world. You know, there's biblical faith and there's natural faith. And so you must be saying to me, Pastor Martin, now what is the difference? Well, biblical faith is based on a belief in God. Firstly, that He exists and that His Word and His ability to do what His Word says, the Bible, is paramount to biblical faith. Hebrews 11 with verse 1 says that biblical faith is based on things hoped for and things not seen. This is the kind of faith we are talking about when I talk about biblical faith. If the Bible says it, I believe it. And if God's word says it, I do it. Amen. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says that if we come to God without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So when we come to God in faith, in believing that God is God and that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more that we can ever possibly hope for or believe, and we come in trust and faith that He will answer and hear our prayers, knowing that He will hear them. Hebrews 11 verse 6, let me just go back through that verse. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not possible to please God without faith, and faith in Him and faith in His Word. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe. You must have the biblical faith, otherwise it's pointless coming to God. And we must believe that you must use that biblical faith to believe that He exists. You know, some people don't believe that there's a God. So you first have to believe that there's a God to be able to believe in a God and to have faith in a God. So you have to believe that He exists, but not only does He exist, but that He rewards those who earnestly, in other words, with all their heart, seek Him. God will answer it. Biblical faith is often called supernatural faith. Now, why? Because faith, natural faith, and supernatural faith or biblical faith is above or super or better superior to natural faith. So you would rather want to work in supernatural biblical faith because it is better. Supernatural faith is also called biblical faith, if you maybe missed it. Biblical faith works on all things are possible for them that believe, where natural faith believes in seeing is believing. So there is a major difference between biblical faith and natural faith. Jesus said to the man who brought his son for healing, and he asked Jesus to said, if you can heal him, please heal him. And Jesus replies in Mark 9 verse 23, if I can, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes, or everything is possible for the one who has the supernatural faith in God and His ability to do what His word says. So what do you need to believe in? Well, believe have faith in God and His ability to do anything. You know, our God can do anything. He created this whole world with His voice. And so He can do anything. And biblical faith is based on a belief in God, that in a God that can do and will do anything. And He will always honor His word. Because according to Numbers 23 verse 19, He's not a man that He should lie. In fact, it's impossible for God to lie. He can only tell the truth. So biblical faith always says, and this is important, that all things are possible through God. So if you have God on your side, anything is possible. Now, natural faith, on the other hand, is based on natural laws. You know, our natural surroundings, our senses, you know, things that are built, our reaction to things in this world, and our experiences taught to us through our own experiences, our own experiments, and through our parents and our peers. Natural faith is always based on your senses. If I cannot see it, if I cannot touch it, if I cannot smell it, if I cannot hear it, if I cannot taste it or feel it, it's not there, or it's not able. So I don't have any money, I can't see the money, and I can't believe that the money is coming because I don't have any money. You know, I'm a realist. That's what a lot of people say with natural faith. I'm a realist. So that's what you often hear. Basically, natural faith says seeing is believing. Haven't you heard people say to you when you come to them in faith that God's going to do, you know, give you a new house? And they say, well, chum, I'll believe it when I see it. So biblical faith is not based on seeing. It's based on something that's beyond our senses of hearing, smelling, seeing, touching, and tasting. Basically, natural faith is, again, if I can't see it, I can't believe it. And so it is based on your senses. If I can't touch it, if I can't smell it, if I can't hear it, I can't taste it, and I can't smell it, then it can't be real. Natural faith is also based on our physical world and physical laws. And that's actually very good that we have this faith. In fact, you know, I don't know if you know this, but no man can step off a building without any parachute or some flying suit or some special gear and fly. We weren't made to fly. We were made to fall. And gravity, which is a law, will take into effect every time anyone steps off the edge of a cliff, off the edge of a building. You will fall at a constant rate of speed. So natural faith is based on laws. You cannot get money unless you earn it, or you inherit it, or you get it as a gift from a friend or a family member, or you get it as a loan, or you win the lottery, or else you do something illegal. But you can't get money any other way. That's what natural faith says. And natural faith is based on our experiences. You were maybe told as a little one, don't touch that hot stove. I remember I was told not to touch a hot gas lamp. And I still went and I experimented and I touched it. Or you touch that hot stove and you find out immediately that the person that warned you was actually doing it for your good, and not to harm you or to steal your fun. And so that your faith is based on that. And we have many people that are scared of heights because maybe they had some issue with heights. They may be scared of spiders. You know, maybe a spider jumped on them as a little kid and they couldn't do anything about it, you know. Or you have a fear of whatever. Those things are all through experience. And God's word says to you today, that you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live in fear. Fear comes from Satan. Faith comes from God. Did you know that the opposite of faith is fear and anxiousness? And God didn't make us to have a spirit of fear, but of hope and love and a sound mind. He didn't create us to be fearful. And lastly, natural faith is based on what others have to say to you. You know, sometimes people say, you're rubbish. You don't deserve to live. You know, you will never make it. You're stupid. You're dumb, etc., etc., etc. And you know, the funny thing is we often believe this and grow up with these things or these thoughts in our lives. Now, I just want to say enough. Take hold of everything that people have said to you to limit your life and in your belief and your understanding and your abilities, and whatever other nonsense people have spoken to you, and lay it at the feet of Jesus and stand up as that new creation Jesus Christ has called you to be in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and go out and achieve the impossible. You know, Daniel 11:32 says that those who know their God will do exploits. And that's experiential knowledge. That is a knowledge like a faithful message, you know, faithful knowledge that you know, that you know, that you know that God will come through for you. Like those three men in the fire in Daniel. They were prepared to go through the fire because they knew that God could and would protect them. And even if he didn't, they knew that they would be with him in heaven. And so they went into that fire and God protected them. What faith that was in God. Maybe you do not know this about me, but you know, I grew up reading comics and stuff like that, but never reading loud. And when I got to high school, it was actually a problem. And people would laugh at me and joke with me and call me stupid and all these type of things because I would read very strangely. I would read in this line and the next thing be two or three lines below and then go back to the second line, and I was all over the show, and people thought I was stupid. You know, they thought there was something wrong with me. But praise God, I had a friend who just wanted me to read. He didn't think I was reading enough, and I was reading quite a bit. And so he started to give me books that would spike my passions. And so I would read these books and gulp them down. But sadly, I would still not. It didn't help me with my reading out aloud. Until one day a teacher identified that maybe I am reading faster than what my mind can process. And she sat me down and had me read, and she realized that this was the case. And that I could actually, my mind read almost twice as fast as I could read when I only read aloud. And so she helped me to sort that out. But imagine if she didn't. Imagine me as a pastor having to do Bible reading. I'm going to, you know, I'll be so fearful. I remember at school how scared I was when it was my turn to read. You know, we'd go down the row and I knew now it's my turn, and I would like be reading, trying to read out ahead to try and rehearse the words and rehearse everything and remind myself to read slowly and all this type of thing. And then came to my turn to read and I would just make a mess. And it wasn't that I couldn't read. I could read very well, but I just couldn't read out aloud. And thank God that that was changed. You see, we all have a belief system in our lives right now that is not based on biblical faith, but is based on our natural faith. I cannot understand mathematics and it's difficult. No, it's not difficult. It's just that you were taught wrong. Maybe your teacher also thought that mathematics was difficult, and because they thought it was difficult, they made it more difficult than what it should be. But mathematics, really, if you know all the formulas, and you understand some of the things, it's actually very, very easy. You know, it's you just have to know how to apply those formulas. I cannot read aloud, or I'm illiterate. No, maybe like me, you just need to read slower, or slow down a little bit, or maybe just have have a look at yourself, and maybe you have maybe you swap your letters around, and maybe things like that. So get help and change. You know, it's with practice, anything is possible. I was never a public speaker, but through practice and constantly doing it, I can stand before thousands of people and speak without being fearful at all. But when these things and these ideas repeat in you over and over again so that you believe them, and many of us are still unfortunately caught up today in beliefs that others have told us and labeled us with many years ago. And so, sadly, most of these labels and these things that people have said about us are actually lies. They're not the truth. And not what God wants for you in His Word. Still, we choose to believe this because we do not read the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is like water. It washes you. The Bible says it's like water. It washes you. And it cleanses you from all wrong way of thinking. If you allow the Word of God to wash you, if you allow the Word of God to change your way of thinking, you will succeed in every way possible, and you'll better get rid of all these negative thoughts and ideas that you have. There are benefits in having biblical faith. We saw last week in James 2:17 that says anything done, faith without works is dead. So biblical faith without any corresponding action, without putting your faith into action, your faith in God's Word and what God is told you He's going to do, and believing what He said He's going to do, and doing exactly that, what the Word of God says, This is not putting, this is putting your faith into action. But if you don't do that, your faith is dead. You know, if you do not act on the word of God, if you do not do what it says, then it's like the Bible says, it's like you looked in a mirror and forgot what you looked like. So we need to really concentrate, and we really need to put our faith in the word of God and understand what the word is saying and actually do what the word of God says. You know, this dead that it talks about, faith without action is dead. I actually just looked at that, and I haven't looked up the word, but when I looked at it, and I said, you know, it is dead. It's not available, but it's actually, you could say it's useless or it's dormant. It's there, but you're not using it. You know, when someone's dead, their brain and all their memories and everything they had is gone. But when they were alive, all their memories and all the things they could do was possible. If we do not use our biblical faith in our daily life, if it's not active, it has no benefit for us. So we need to start learning to walk in biblical faith. That is the reason why when people experience difficult situations, they do not turn to God immediately. It's amazing to me. They call out to God. They maybe say, oh God. Or they offer a praise to God. But they're not even sure if God will hear them, let alone do anything for them. This is really sad. When you don't know God as you should. You know, as I said last week, Christianity is a relationship. When you know God and you know that God is real, when you know God and experience God through His Word by taking action on what His Word says, what the Word says actually happens, when trials come, the first thing you do is you run to Him. You call to Him in faith, knowing that He will help you. And that's a huge difference with some people that, you know, that are inwardly focused when something happens. They don't want to pray. They don't even think of asking other people to pray. They just stand there and they just say, oh God, help. And they don't even know if God's going to help them. And you know, just after I recovered from COVID-19, God asked me to pray for people who were sick with COVID-19. And you know, I'm not special. God called many people to do this. Some did and some didn't, and praise God, I chose to believe Him and His Word, and I believe that God can heal any sickness, any disease, and until the day I die, even if I die of a sickness or disease, I will believe and I know that my God can heal anything. So why could these people not pray for themselves? And I often ask myself this question. Some of them were great Christians, and I realized, and I know I'm generalizing a little bit, but I realized that their faith was weak. Even the very strong Christians, their faith was weak due to what the illness was doing to them and all the lies that Satan was telling them. And they were too weak in their spirits to actually pray. And they needed to hear a prayer of faith to re-energize them. But sadly, many people did not pray for themselves. I heard a lady yesterday talk about winter and how she struggled with COVID-19. And how she forced herself to get up every day, even though she was dead tired. And how she asked her husband to bring her plants and take her to a nursery so she could walk between the plants so that she could just feel life. And she could feel when she was with things that were alive, she could feel this life coming into her. And she's a wonderful Christian. And she was able in faith just to do what God was showing her to do. And she is today 100% well. It was never part of my prayers to heal these people. I am not the healer. I just prayed in faith that they would be healed. But my prayer never healed anyone. And I don't care who the person is. His prayer has never healed anyone, or her prayer has never healed anyone. And you can go to Benny Hinn, Catherine Kuhlman, all of them. They will tell you straight, I don't heal. Jesus heals. And so it wasn't my prayer or my plan to start a healing ministry. I knew that God was the healer. And so in faith in God and in what His Word says, I stood on His Word. I only had Isaiah 53 verse 4, 3 and 4, you know, by His stripes I'm healed. And then I found 1 Peter 2:24, that by His stripes we were healed. And then God gave me Psalm 103 verse 3, and then Malachi 4:1, and then 117 verse 20, and scripture upon scripture became alive to me. And God even taught me about His name and how every name will bow before the name of the Lord. And so, you know, without faith, you can't accomplish anything. You can't do anything. And so we need that type of faith, that supernatural faith in our lives, so we can do the exploits for God. Because remember, we don't walk by what we see, but we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, we walk by faith, not by sight, which implies that there are two ways to walk. You can walk by faith, or you can walk by sight. And so I want to encourage you, walk by faith in God and His Word. That's called supernatural faith. If you walk by sight, sight is one of your natural senses. So you're walking in natural faith. Faith always believes in something. Whether in yourself or in the power other than yourself, we walk in natural faith every day. But it's not biblical faith. Natural faith is important, but it's not biblical faith. Biblical faith is a faith in God and His Word, and realizing that God is God. Let me explain to you like this. You get up in the morning and in faith, and you go to work. You believe that your office is still open, that there's power at the office, and that you have a job, and that your company will pay you at the end of the month. And so you go to work. Now, you might say that's normal, and that's true, it is normal, but this is still exercising small letter faith in your life. In my notes, you'll see that supernatural faith is always capitalized, and normal faith is always just undercase. But it's exercising your faith. Your faith is being exercised in your company and your company's ability to pay you. So when you get up, you're exercising your faith in the municipality that you have power and you have water to shower. Obviously, electricity to heat the water and to make you your morning coffee and your breakfast. And I'm very aware of this. We've had a lot of power issues. We've actually had 8 days without power in the last 20, or now it's 30 days. We have had 8 days with no power. And waking up without any electricity is a bit of a slip. You know, you tend to sleep a bit later because the sun's getting up later. You have to make coffee on the gas stove. Fortunately, we have solar geysers, so we don't have to worry about hot water, but it's an issue. And so that's how you get up in the morning. You're putting your faith in the municipality, that the municipality will supply you with water and they will supply you with electricity, and they normally do. Then you get in your car and you turn the key, and you don't check if there's fuel in the car. You don't check if the battery's charged. You don't check if there's water, oil, the tires are pumped, or whatever. You just turn the key and the car starts. It's only when the car doesn't start that you then go and examine some of the other things. But then you drive with your car, and you go through things called traffic lights, or robots, as they call them, yeah. And when it's green, you just drive through. And when it's red, you slow down and you stop. And you put your trust and your faith in your fellow driver that they will also heed the rules of the road. But sometimes they don't. But it requires a lot of faith that to do all these things. Faith in the municipality, faith in the other road users, faith in your wife that she doesn't poison you or anything like that, faith that the food is fresh, faith. There's so much faith going on. And all this requires a lot of faith, because you never checked or never made sure anything was working. And so that's natural faith. The second question I want to ask you is, and what you must have been going to ask me is, well, Pastor, how do I exercise this biblical faith? Now remember, supernatural faith or biblical faith is super above, beyond normal faith. Because natural faith is based on this earth, all the things that we can do on this earth, our senses, the physical laws, what we can see, what we can build, what we can do. That's natural faith. But supernatural faith is above and beyond, because it's not of this world. It is beyond this world, and it requires a belief in something greater and more powerful than yourself. And in this case, in our case, as a Christian, biblical faith is a belief and a faith in God and His Word and His ability to do what His Word says. So the first step in biblical faith is believing who God is. That He's both willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you ever have asked or hoped for. Paul says in Ephesians 3 verse 20 and 21, now to him God, who is able to do immeasurably more, that's other words, much, much more than we can imagine or ask, according to his power, God's omnipotent power, he's all powerful, that is at work in us, that all powerful work of God is working in us. God's power that is working in us is what power, you might ask? It's the faith to believe in the power of salvation, that God wants to reconcile myself and all mankind to himself through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15 to 21. To him be your glory in the church in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. That was Ephesians 3, 20, 21 with a bit of my paraphrasing in between. And then secondly, to applying or doing what Romans 12, 1 and 2 implies. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, God's forgiving you of your sin through Jesus Christ, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Why living sacrifices? Well, did you know that a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar any time? So in other words, you have a choice. A dead sacrifice just lies there and burns. But a living sacrifice can choose to remain on the altar or to get off the altar. And that's why God wants us as a living sacrifice, where we choose to lay down our thoughts, our plans, our goals, our dreams, our visions, and pick up God's plans and purposes and goals and visions for us. That's what's a living sacrifice. And not only a living sacrifice, but holy. And holiness means to be set apart for God for a specific purpose. So this, let's say this is anointing water. I pray over it and I put it one side and I only use it for anointing. I don't use it for anything else. It's been set apart for a specific purpose. And not only holy, but pleasing to God. And this is your true and proper worship. Do not, this is so important, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. In other words, do not think like the world thinks, but change the way you think into the way that God thinks. Going back to the verse, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a constant renewing, a constant washing of your mind with the Word of God, in faith, in your life, with trusting God and His Word. And then the verse says, then, only then, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing and perfect will. You know, I've heard many people say, Pastor Martin, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, it's because you're not washing your mind with the will of God. You're not conforming. You're not becoming that living sacrifice. You're not laying down everything, your money, everything to God. Not that God wants your money or your life or whatever, but he wants you to submit to him so that he can raise up what is good in you and use you to do incredible things for God. You know, I'm always amazed when I think of what God's done through my life. You know, just a normal Oki. And I was born in a bush. I was born in Mufulira in Zambia. It was in the bush, just a mining town with nothing. And look where I am today. God has brought me through so many things. The simple answer is that we need to come to God and we need to believe that He is God and that He's the rewarder of our faith. And by reading the Word of God and allowed to change our life and to act on what that Word says, we will then receive the blessing of God. But doing what the Word says, don't just read it, but actually do. If God's Word says such and such is wrong, then it's wrong. Then don't go and do it. It's wrong. In other words, taking corresponding action, actually doing what you are reading, actually physically changing your attitude, changing your mindset, changing the way you act, the way you speak, the way you talk to people, into the things of God. You know, Romans 8 verse 1 says, this is an example I'm going to use, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn you. That's why I said a couple of weeks ago, God is not mad at you or anyone in this world. God does not condemn you because he sent Jesus to the cross of Calvary and Jesus was condemned on the cross for you and my sin. So it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So in other words, there is condemnation for those who aren't in Christ Jesus. So we need to come into Christ Jesus. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The verse says that you're not condemned because Jesus was condemned. Sure, that's amazing. You're free from sin. This will never mean anything to you as long as you do not apply your faith to these facts. There are many people that have read this scripture and have gone and lived their life and died and gone to an eternal place which is not with God because they refuse to believe it themselves. This will mean nothing unless you apply your faith to these facts. That the word of God is true and it's a fact that, and you believe that Jesus made you sinless and therefore you're not condemned. And you receive Jesus' sacrifice on your behalf so that you can have eternal life. Why? Because the word says, so I choose to put my faith in the word and believe God. You know, I don't know how you feel, but I choose faith. I choose to believe what God's word says. I choose to believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and therefore I am saved. I'm sinless and I've been bought with a price. I'm not perfect. Yes, I sin every day and I must go and confess it and I must go to God and repent of it. But I am free from the law of sin of death. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that to me. Now, what happens when life happens in your natural faith? You know, living in faith, life happens. Whether you're living in biblical faith or whether you're living in natural faith, things happen that are out of the, you know, hit you from the left and the right. You know, things that you don't plan. And when you get into these situations that are beyond your control, you need to apply spiritual faith because natural faith is not going to help you. We need to have a source of faith that is higher or better than the normal faith we experience or exercise every day. We need faith in a higher authority, something beyond ourselves and our world that is willing and able to rescue us from every situation. And praise God, we have a God who fits the bill and who cares for us. In the natural realm, what do? When things we trust in cannot help us anymore? Or we've reached a limit in life of some things and we have to put our faith into something other than the natural things we put our faith in. Now, people put their faith in many things, and some of them I'm going to just discuss. There's only a few, but some people put their faith in medicine. Many of us trust that medicine will help us, and it does. But there's a point where medicine doesn't help anymore. You know, when we feel ill, we go to the doctor and they give us some antibiotic, and we get well. But what happens when you get to your doctor and your doctor says you have cancer and there's nothing we can do for you? What happens when medicine cannot treat the symptoms and cure you from the symptoms you are experiencing? And there's only you and death and the symptoms between you and death. What happens if you get a bad report from your doctor and he says we've reached the limit to what medicine can offer you? What happens when you have an incurable disease that medication and medicine cannot help you with? What do you do when there is no cure for your issue? Some people trust in money, and money is a good thing. It's not bad if you treat money right. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money is the root of all evil. Go and read that verse again. Many of us trust in money and it might be good, but what happens when that money runs out? What happens if you lose your job? What happens if you are retrenched? What happens if you have a financial crisis in the bank and your family and your friends don't want to lend you any money and you have nothing? What happens when you run out of money and nobody wants to help you? Some people put their hope in fame. Some people trust in their fame and their standing in the community. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a doctor. But what happens when that fame or that standing in the community diminishes and you're not as important as you once were before? No matter what you trust in money, fame, medicine, your abilities, your family, your friends, whatever you're trusting in, when it is shaken and there's lack or loss, what do you do when you cannot be satisfied or helped anymore? That is when you need a higher authority, something outside of your situation, someone who is powerful enough, rich enough, able and willing to help you in all areas at any time that you have need. The only person I know that is both willing and able to help anyone who comes to him in faith and asks him for help in faith is only God. Only God can answer all our questions in life. Only he is able to help reward those who firstly believe in him, that he actually exists, and secondly, they come with biblical faith based on God and his word and his willingness and his ability to help them in their time of trouble. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are there to help us in every situation we face. But we must come in faith. We must understand that they are God and they want to help us. In summary, there are two kinds of faith in operation in your life. Natural faith, which is good. And then biblical faith, which is supernatural, superior to natural faith. Both are active in your life. But we need to make a choice of where and how we will work with our faith. Natural faith was created to save us from harm. You know, you don't jump off a cliff because you know that gravity is going to hurt you. You know, but biblical faith is screaming out, you can do it because of such and such. You have enough money, you have this, you have that. Where natural faith says you don't have enough money, you don't have the ability, you don't have the education, you don't have this and that and that. What will you choose today? I choose faith. Let us pray. Father, I just pray for everyone who's heard this message. I pray for them that they come in faith in you and your word and your ability to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever hope for and ask for. We praise you, Father. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you. We honor you. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us. Help this word to impact our lives, Lord, and change the way we think in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for everyone that you bless them through this week, that you protect them, that you keep them safe, that those who need a healing touch from you, Lord, that by your stripes they are healed to the glory of God and in faith in you and your word and your ability to heal them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.